Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tree Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome in, Zolak and Bertrand, on this Tuesday, April 28th. Here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Make sure you download our app at 98.5thesportshub.com and always tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub. Also,
what do they call us?
On NBC smart. Sports Boston. And I'm seeing you guys for the first time today through our simulcast. And I just want to ask both of you if you're okay, Hardy and Zoe, because
I think I'm in better shape than Zoe is.
I'm okay. I cut a mole.
You cut yourself shaving. I cut myself shaving. You cut a mole.
It's right here.
Oh, boy.
You can see it.
Oh, right. Boy.
See that sucker?
Boy. Oh, yeah.
Look at it.
That looks precancerous, if I do say so myself.
Shut up. I don't need any other problems during this pandemic.
For a guy who never uses any suntan lotion, you might want to start.
No way.
Hardy?
I think mine is like this raised, it's not quite a white bump, and you know my feelings on home surgery. I love it.
You love it.
Mm-hmm. And I've tried to remove this thing before, but it's kind of gone now.
What, you shave it off this morning?
It was in the shower. I'm shaving quick because you got that stupid-ass FaceTime call you people put us on. Everybody's on FaceTime, and I'm trying to hurry up and clean up for it. And I felt it, I hit it, I nicked it, and I knew I took the top of that mole right off. And I'll tell you what, I've done this once before, and it was about 6 years ago. And my dad was great at this stuff. He used to have a shaving kit, and he would have that little white pencil. I think it's called a septic pencil or
I think
septic?
I thought it was a styptic pencil.
Styptic. And there's only other one man as old as him that would have it. And this happened 6 years ago on an away game. And we're getting on the bus early, and I'm bitching. Oh, my God, I got my suit on. I'm dripping blood. I cut my thing. And Capella opens his back. Here. And he had a brand new one in a box. Here, just take it. Steppic pencil. Just put it on. I take it. Fix it. Fix it right up. The only other guy would have it would be Capella. Of course, he's old, you know? So.
Yeah, it is. It's sort of an old guy thing, but I think we should bring it back.
We should. I think that I have to go to CVS now today to get one. I was trying to stay in today. You know, trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, I almost believe that. I want to believe that.
Hey, me and my wife get to go out now. We're excited to go to CVS now.
That's how Zoe's been operating. He looks for excuses to go places. Like,
hey,
I got myself saving. Got to go to CVS.
I'm starting to snap. starting to snap, and I hear it. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it from people.
But our call was almost an hour ago, so you guys have been bleeding for an hour?
I've been bleeding since 8:41.
I've been bleeding since about 9:05.
You should see it. You should see the other blood rag in there.
Are you going to make it? Are you okay?
I'm a little lightheaded.
I mean, I should get a donut. Maybe I should go to Dunkin' Donuts, get a donut.
Yeah,
feel
I need
better.
I need
a little
juice
apple juice. Little apple juice
some
over there.
Peanut butter crackers.
Hey, Ma, bring a juice.
Lornadunes after giving blood.
Lornadunes. Who would even get a Lornadune?
No, that's the only place you ever see them. That's the one place.
Nope. You know what they roll out at them damn mobile labs is that Fig Newton stuff that nobody really eats, you know? You know what I'm talking about, Hardy. Or Entenmann cookies, chocolate chip cookies. Those mini ones that taste like rubber.
No, I love them. I'd take all those things right now.
It's kind of a cool new
so
towel.
Woozy.
We could have spotted towels in our house, you know?
What do you think is going to be the solution here? You're going to, Zoe, I mean, you've been bleeding here.
I'm going to bleed out. I don't care.
No.
I'm just going to let it dry up.
To quote Zoe's favorite movie, Time and Pressure. It's just time and pressure.
I got to dry up. I got to do some more cameo videos today, this afternoon.
Oh, there's a little subtle plug.
God.
So it's on Cameo. If anybody, like Maz is on it.
Yeah, no, he's
really
definitely
say,
on it.
Who
really
wants to say happy birthday to your kids? Maz or me? I mean, come on. Hey.
My father just texted. He said we're stupid for not having one of the
thanks, Tony.
Yeah, of course. Old guy thing.
Yeah.
Of course.
Thanks for the flowers, buddy.
Yeah, your dad has always had one. That's
of course,
how everyone feels
dads.
About
that's
them.
What dads do.
Right.
I know, but I wish he wouldn't call me stupid every time my name gets brought up around.
No,
me.
He called all of us stupid. It wasn't directed at you.
But
he's
like always
one of us stupid.
The only time I ever hear from you or your father is when he's calling me stupid or he's grabbing and pulling and hurting my neck.
Yeah. That's inner city.
He's called you another word about that too.
It's bitchy inner city Quincy Tony. He's got a little edge to him, you know? I think everybody's stupid. He's tired of all this stuff.
All right, then. All right, well, I hope you guys heal up over the course of the 4 hours today. We're all rooting for you.
Right.
Time and pressure.
That's right.
I don't want to have to call a medic over to anyone's house. That should return, by the way. Doctor's visits at your home.
Oh, yeah. House
Something
calls.
That... Yeah, house calls.
No, but like, hey, if we did the virtual doctor thing, like you're the virtual doctor, like, look, I could literally go up there and you could look at my wounds.
You can't virtually stitch someone up, though. You know, there's gonna be a need for this at some point. Wound care on the run.
I can do that. Yeah. See, they need to look. There's too many regulations about
surgery.
Performing medical acts.
Oh,
yeah.
Stupid hip
I can
stuff.
Do. I can do a lot of that stuff.
Right.
All of a sudden, there's going to be a plastic surgery clinic in Hardy's basement.
I threw a stitch in before.
Well, he was certified in Brazil. I don't know what the big deal is, you know? All right. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Let's revisit some of the stuff related to the NFL draft and related to the Patriots and their receiving corps, which for a draft that was stocked with receivers – the Patriots didn't seem to have much interest in drafting one. That became pretty apparent over the course of the 3 days of the NFL draft. They stayed away from receivers. They had opportunities to draft receivers. They did not take them. Did you expect them to get somebody, Zoe, in this draft?
Yeah, I did.
Receiver-wise?
Yeah, I expected them to get somebody. They need bodies. That's the thing. And I think, you know, we said this going into the draft. When you look at them top to bottom, okay, Jillian's the number one guy, right? He's the guy that makes the whole offense go. Mohamed Sanu, I had him categorized as a potential late camp cut, one of those bubble guys that you look at and say, well, if he never gets back to being healthy or doesn't look right or doesn't look like he's in the fit of the offense, that's a guy that can be a casualty at the end of camp. Now all of a sudden you look at him and sitting there at $6 million saying, that's pretty good value for a guy. And you're going to need him. You're like, you need Mohamed Sanu. Him and Julian Edelman are your two receivers, along with Marquise Lee. Lee's made some nice catches against us before. Lee would be like your third guy. Sanu is your number two guy right now as I look at it. I know N'Keal Harry should take over, but I'm going off what I know and what I saw.
So
okay?
there's no Philip Dorsett in the mix anymore, but it's
nope.
Pretty much the same as what
it's
was
pretty,
last year.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. You got your boy Jacoby Myers in there, and guess who fed Jacoby Myers? Had a great rapport with him last preseason. Jared Stidham.
Well, I think it's interesting that you bring
that
up.
It might keep him around, Beetle, just because the kid likes the kid. and they were together and sort of had that sixth sense with each other, and they know it. And then you get Stidham, slot receiver that they picked up, unsigned from Auburn. So there's some guys that are going to have a chance. Gunnar Olszewski is still in the mix. He's going to be a returner, so he'll be your sixth receiver. There's another guy that's got a spot.
Well, so. Bill Belichick was asked about the receivers after the draft over the weekend, and the question was that you didn't draft a wide receiver. What does it say? How much does it reflect upon the wide receiver group that you have currently? And how much faith do you have for a lot of those younger players to make progress in year two? N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers. That was the question, really. It boiled it down to one thing. You didn't draft a guy. How much faith do you have in N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers? Here is Bill Belichick's answer. He does mention N'Keal Harry. I don't hear him mention Jacoby Myers at any point.
Well, we'll see how that goes. I'm sure that our young players are all, you know, improve in year two. And been a first-round pick on N'Keal last year, and, you know, second round pick on Sanu, you know, that was really off of this draft. And, obviously have, you know, Julian and a number of other young players, and I think that'll be a very good group. There's a lot of different ways and times to build your team, and the draft's one of them. But as I mentioned, whether it's, you know, Sanu or free agent signing like Bird or, you know, whatever the case might be, there's multiple ways to build your roster. So this is one of them.
Damir Bird got a mention in there, and Jacoby Myers didn't. I don't think that was by mistake.
I don't know that. Bill's just going through it.
He named everybody. He named Sanu. He named N'Keal Harry. He named Julian Edelman. Do you think Julian Edelman needs to be mentioned when talking about draft picks and young receivers? Come on.
No, but if he doesn't name him, they're like, oh, he left
He's
Edelman
tipping
out.
His hand. He's tipping his hand there. So he's got those three guys in his mind. Sanu, to me, is now a lock the way he thinks of it.
Dude, you like keep five. Right.
The way he talks about it, he was a second-round pick in this draft.
Yeah, he gave up a second, and that's the way he views it. He views that as a marquee value pick that he gave up for him.
So he's not giving up on Sanu. I think that the way that looks is Sanu is here unless he's unable to recover from his injuries. So if healthy, it's Sanu, it's Edelman, it's N'Keal Harry, and then we'll figure out who's going to sort of compete and be in the mix at the bottom of the receiving group. And he's mentioning Damir Bird before he even gets to Jacoby Myers. I hate to break that to you, Jacoby Myers fans. I hate to tell you that. I really do. Unfortunate.
It's a small lobby. It's small but powerful lobby.
Oh, it really is. It really is.
But the thing, Beetle, is he's trying to, and I understand what you're saying, and I'm not saying it looks good for Jacoby Myers in any way, but he's up there talking about why he didn't select a wide receiver in a draft that had a lot of wide receivers when it's apparent to everybody watching this team you need wide receivers. So he mentions Julian Edelman not to somehow prop up Julian Edelman or somehow make him feel better about his future with the team, but as a means to say, hey, it's not like we don't have any wide receivers.
Right.
We got Mohamed Sanu. We used a first rounder to get our N'Keal Harry. We've got Julian Edelman.
That's a good point, Hardy. He's sort of patting himself on the back for the important ones that he has acquired and guys that have played. Yeah.
Right. We've already got these guys. What drives me nuts, and Bill Belichick is like every other coach in the league when it comes to this, one of their primary pluses on a player is how high they were selected, which has, unfortunately, nothing to do with whether or not they can actually play the game. But when he's extolling the virtues of N'Keal Harry, talks about what a high draft pick he was. And to me, I say, so what?
He's done that with other teams too, Hardy. When you get into the week of a game, you know, they got a lot of high picks there. He's done. I've heard him do it before.
I can't tell you how many times we did games against the Jets. Remember when Muhammad Wilkerson and all those guys were there in that front seven? He goes, look at this. We're doing the Bell shirt. And he's like, he puts up a 1-1-1-1. You know what all those are, though? 5 first-round draft picks.
Yeah.
That's how they
assemble
their defense. Yep.
Like, what do I care? Can
they
play?
So it's a good question. Let's address it coming up next, as we also have something else interesting related to first-round receivers, both tight ends and receivers and backs. But the question would be, is Bill Belichick's really the defense of, I drafted N'Keal Harry in the first round last year, is that a good explanation? Or if you want to go so far as to call it an excuse, I wouldn't do that. But
I got another angle on this, too.
Is that enough for you when he says, listen, we didn't draft a receiver. We drafted one in the first round last year. Is that enough for you? Did that aggravate you, or are you satisfied with that answer? And Zoe's got another angle as well that's coming up next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. HelplineMA.org.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With the 32nd pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select N'Keal Harry, wide receiver.
N'Keal Harry, a first-round pick a year ago for the Patriots. Bill Belichick mentioned that when explaining that the Patriots did not draft a receiver in this year's draft. Do you buy that as an explanation as for why? And I know that some people will say, well, N'Keal Harry turned out wasn't that good last year. N'Keal Harry had a bad year. I would argue that it's perfectly fair game to say we spent a first-round pick on a guy a year ago. We think he's going to work out. We think that last year was a rough start, rocky start, had an injury, and we believe he's going to perform to the level of a first-round pick in years two, three, and beyond. I don't think that's a stretch to say what he said and to use that as some of the rationale as to maybe why they weren't targeting a receiver early in the draft or really at any point in the draft, considering when you get to the fifth and sixth and seventh round of the NFL draft, I know that draft people like those rounds. I don't care for them all that much. I don't think it produces all that much. I think the Patriots have done exceptional in that department, though. You know, turning Julian Edelman, quarterback from Kent State, seventh rounder, into a, you know, a MVP, Super Bowl MVP receiver. They've done great with some of the picks they've made there, but I don't hold misses in those rounds against teams ever because I just don't think that they produce a lot. And so, I don't know. I look at it and say, fine, you get N'Keal Harry. N'Keal Harry better step up. Like, you have to play N'Keal Harry. You have to put him out on the field. You have to see what you have in N'Keal Harry. They're going to play that guy. He's going to get a lot of reps. So, you know, so be it. Let's go. You've got Sanu. You've got Harry. You've got Edelman. I do understand his answer.
The big thing for them, too, is this is a deep draft. So you're thinking, okay, they're at least going to get one guy to help bolster the position. 13 guys went for top two rounds. That is a deep draft. Excuse me. But, you know, this could also be, hey, we like the receivers we have. Maybe they weren't the problem last year. Maybe it was the quarterback, if that's the way they look at it. You know, that could be part of this.
I could understand there being a conscious effort to not draft another receiver high in the first couple of rounds as a way of saying what we have here was enough last year and it will be enough this year. I could see that. But I don't think that they were going to target a receiver high because they don't typically do that anyway. Last year, N'Keal Harry was something they don't really ever do. You know, that's not normal for them to target a receiver high in a draft.
Definitely a surprise last year. And specifically that type of receiver, right? 6'3" guy that's strong, that really doesn't get off the jam that well. But maybe that was part of the transition starting to get ready for Gronkowski. Is like you look at a guy like that and you're thinking, okay, maybe we're going to get Josh Gordon. Now maybe all of a sudden we have some red zone guys. We can put the ball up to the back shoulder and they could go up and get it. He does have that ability to do that. We've seen him be explosive with the ball in his hands. It just didn't see it enough. This is a big year for him. It's a bleep or get off the pot year for this guy. So without Brady being there, I mean, maybe he feels like he could exert himself a little bit more. That, okay, I'm a high pick. I don't have to sit here and get yelled at by the 20-year-old greatest guy ever that, geez, just beats me down every time, or I get accosted every time I go to the sideline because I ran the route the wrong way on that pick that they threw down at Houston. He never saw the field again that day. Remember, they're trying to throw the ball to Sanu and Jacoby Myers the rest of it. So from that aspect, Harry should come into this. And that's a part of that you hate about not having the OTAs and the workouts. His ass should be there in that facility right now, working out with McCourty and those guys and getting his confidence level up. Very hard for his player to show up without working at all with any of the teammates and say, you know, I'm confident and I'm ready to go. It's my team.
So what was your other angle on things that you said you wanted to get to?
It was the quarterback angle that, okay, this is basically the same groupings we had a year ago, right? They've added a couple tight ends, but it's the same back, same outside guys, all the guys that Bill listed that played with one guy, and that was Tom Brady. And maybe they actually liked this group of guys and said the problem wasn't the receivers. At times, maybe it was the quarterback. Maybe the quarterback didn't have faith in them or was frustrated with the plays we were calling. Hey, I watched it, though. Some of these guys didn't separate at all. Edelman was all he had, and once Edelman got dinged, they were cooked. They were cooked. They had no tight end. No tight end. Every time they threw two tight ends out there, you knew they were keeping one in. The other one was going to go in motion, trap somebody, or block somebody. There was no threat at the tight end position. That was a bunch of garbage.
Do you want to hear this tweet that Jim shared with us this morning?
Sure.
About first-round picks, as we stay on the first-round pick sort of angle of things. And to tie it all into what we're talking about, these are the career touchdown passes to first-round picks that quarterbacks have had, you know, big-name quarterbacks in the last 20 years. At the top of the list is Peyton Manning. He threw 293 touchdowns in his career to first-round picks. This includes everything, so it could be running backs, receivers, tight ends. These are touchdown passes, though, so receptions. 293 touchdown passes for Manning to first-round picks. Brett Favre had 127 touchdown passes to first-round picks. Tom Brady had 100 and has, to this point, 105 touchdowns to first-round picks. I would say a healthy chunk of those were to Randy Moss in his career.
Sure, sure.
Drew Brees, 104, right there with Brady, 104 touchdown passes to first-round picks. Marino, 84. Phillip Rivers, 35. Aaron Rodgers, we'll get to him in a moment. Ben Roethlisberger, 69 touchdown passes to first-round picks. Aaron Rodgers has one touchdown pass in his entire career has been thrown to a first-round pick. And that was Mercedes Lewis last season. It seems like a ridiculous, inconceivable number.
That's why he was bitching. That's why he was bitching before the draft this year.
That's who it is. Rodgers has one. One Manning with a ridiculous amount, 293, because he always had guys to throw to. So to get to the first-round discussion, Hardy, I think you sort of hit on it. Just because you're a first-round pick doesn't mean you're the best.
Yeah, correct.
And so I don't know how to interpret these numbers. I mean, does it say more about receivers, about quarterbacks, or does it say the most about how teams approach stocking their roster?
Yeah.
Because when it comes to Green Bay, I'd say, well, that's because you haven't spent enough assets on, you know, getting first-round picks, whether they were your first-round picks or someone else's.
Or does it it speaks just as much to teams and their willingness to keep going to guys and keep working with them and keep trying to find a way to make it work with first-round picks. If Jacoby Myers had been selected, you know, in the first round, then I'm sure his name would have been mentioned yesterday. But he wasn't. You know, so you've got a large number of targets, and you've got a great deal of success. Now, the most obvious answer is probably the most correct one. It's the first-round wide receiver picks tend to be the more talented guys. You know, scouts know what they're doing. Coaches know what they're doing for the most part. But there's also an added benefit to your team by not screwing up a first-round pick. You know, you don't want to miss out on spending all that money. You're going to – if you spend a lot of money on anything or a lot of currency in terms of draft currency,
right,
you tend to take care of it a little bit better. You do everything you can to make sure that it's going to give you the best return on your investment. And I hate to talk about players in such a commodity type of way, but that is what we're talking about here. So when these guys use that type of leverage and they use that that wealth, whether in terms of draft picks or putting together picks and moving up, and it's in everyone's best interest to make this thing work out. So some of those numbers are the result of them willing to do more to get a guy out there on the field catching passes than somebody who was an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, and I see this list too, and the first thing I think of is Matt Ryan, right? You think, what guy has had his ass kissed or patted more so over the course of his career by the drafting of first-round talent? I mean, he's omitted from this list. Don't tell me that those numbers are down. The Julio Jones, the Ridleys, the Freemans, the amount of running backs he's had, the all Hall of Fame tight ends. I mean, come on. You know, Tony Gonzalez, how many touchdowns he catch from him? You end up going looking at Ryan's, you're going to see that number's up there too. I don't know why he was omitted from this list, but yeah, and Brady could be part of it's Watson, could be Lawrence Maroney off a screen pass. Not necessarily does it have to be an outside guy. It could be tight ends. Tight ends are picked in the first round. So it's going to be interesting to take a peek at this thing as it continues. Brady's not done. He's got some high-end talent down there with him that are first-round talent down there in Tampa. So he should be able to put up bigger numbers now.
Well, I think it just shows that the end-all, be-all is not that a guy is a first-round pick, number one, but also – you know, how much do quarterbacks put into developing younger players? And right. was Brady giving his best in that department last year? I would find that hard to answer yes. You know, was Brady giving it his all and helping develop younger players on this roster? I don't know how
I would say
answer would be yes with how things were trending here.
He goes to his guys. He's frustrated last year. He was sick of it and he was frustrated.
And so maybe part of it is that Bill Belichick expects Jared Stidham to really work with N'Keal Harry between now and the start of the year.
He didn't put N'Keal Harry in his house or give him his car. Second Antonio Brown got here.
And that will net
best friends, man.
Better results.
Yeah.
You know? All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get your calls. Also, the Patriots' new kicker has spoken again. Roar Wasser speaking to Steve Burton on Channel 4 last night. We will get to that coming up next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
First, our introduction. Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When did you get the tattoo, Justin?
When I was 18, I got it. And it is described to me as, you know, the percentage of colonists that rose up against the authoritarian government of the British. And I was like, wow, that's such a, you know, American sentiment, patriotic sentiment. Coming from a military family, I thought that really spoke to me. And I always was proud to be an American.
Patriots kicker Justin Rohrwasser talking to Steve Burton last night, WBZ TV Channel 4. That's him further explaining what he thought the tattoo was about, what the logo was about. Here is his other part of the interview with Steve Burton, when Steve Burton asked him what's going to happen with the tattoo and going forward. This obviously has caused headlines and controversy over the last few days with Justin Rohrwasser. Here's the other part of his interview.
The other day, you told the media that you would want to cover it up. Now, as I understand it, you're taking it one step further, aren't you?
Yeah, as soon as I saw what it was linked to on Saturday, exactly that time I knew I had to get it totally taken off my body. I said cover it up, but I want to get it removed from my body. It's shameful that I had it on there ignorantly. I'm sorry for all my friends and family that have to defend me. Putting them in that compromising position is one of the biggest regrets I'll ever have. So to them, I'm sorry. And I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to take ownership of it. And, this is who I am. Show that no matter what, that's not who I am. And hopefully you'll all find that out.
It's good audio. Good quality. But
given the situation,
right.
You know, circumstance.
He sounds genuine, man. I don't know what more to say. Kid sounds like he regrets it. He now understands why people are offended by it.
Well, I wonder if all the people, and you know, we had a bunch yesterday calling and emailing and tweeting us, all the people who were, you know, saying like, you know, what's the problem with the three percenters, you know, essentially, you know, defending Rohrwasser. Well, now that he's literally in tears saying that's not who I am, please don't think of me this way, are they now going to turn against him?
This is what I said yesterday. It's the most fascinating part of it to me.
He denounced them on Saturday.
He denounced the group and said, I don't want to be associated with it. And then the people who are associated with it were the strongest defenders of him.
Yeah, right. We love him.
Yeah. But he's saying, no, that I want nothing to do with this. It's not enough to cover it up. I need to have this thing removed. And I can't believe I did this. You know, I was so stupid for, you know, getting involved with all this. Well, I wonder if the three percenters are going to turn on him now.
And I would say to the people that were very upset with him when this came to light over the weekend, are you willing to accept that he has said he finds it shameful and he's going to remove it? You should. Like, what else are you going to say now?
I wonder what he will denounce next.
What do you mean by that?
He's just got some other interests out there that some people are very, very passionate about in terms of following and agreeing with him on. I wonder if he'll denounce those next. And believe me, if I even mention what they are or say who they are, they will try and run roughshod over the show and call in and talk about it. Nope, nobody wants to talk about it because it's
right.
It's on your list of what you don't want to do today or do want to do today? Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, my thought
it's
is that this should put it
to try and argue with somebody who is a zealot, who is, you know, you know, has like a cult like interest in a movement or a person, and try and when all you say is like, wow, that seems a little off. You know, there seems to be some inconsistencies or some incongruent philosophies going on with this organization or this person. And oh my God, it just sets these people off. They get so sensitive about this. It's like, hey, what? It's just people, you know, are interested in different things. And so far, Rohrwasser has already completely, you know, denounced and disavowed any association with one of these things. I wonder what's going to be next.
Well, I mean, this was the issue that people had with him, was the tattoo, and now he has said he doesn't want that tattoo. He's going to get rid of that tattoo, and now that he's going to be collecting, we assume, an NFL paycheck, he'll have the resources to go ahead and do that. So, okay, that's it. Puts it to bed. You know, you're allowed to change your mind. You're allowed to evolve, all of those things. So I'm sure there are people that will say, no, I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I think he's a fraud. And there are people that will say that on the other side, too. Everyone involved. Well, there will be people on both sides of this saying that the guy's a fraud and he's lying. The people that defending him from the beginning, saying, no, he's lying. He's just caving. He's giving in to whatever, the PC crowd, if you will. And the people that say, oh, this is horrible. You know, why does he want to associate with that? He has completely disassociated himself with it. And there are people on that side that won't buy it. So I just think it's pretty forceful. A couple of statements from him, and he's getting rid of the tattoo. What else do you want from the guy? What else would you like to see happen at this point? What's your complaint now?
Kick field goals. That's what I'd like to see him do. Kick field goals. Cover the damn tattoo up. And that's the sad part for him, is that's all people want to talk about, right? And every reporter and everybody that's going to be sent down there is going to be looking for the soundbite. And at some point, they're going to have to pull him back a little bit, right? To allow to have stop doing these interviews, because they really don't let rookies get out there out in the front in any way. I mean, this is a post draft interview. I wouldn't be shocked if most of these guys stay hidden after this. So,
yeah, and I'm sure
it's just dig, right, until you get the bite you want.
Well, who is digging till the? I don't know what you mean by that.
They're going to just continually talk about the tattoos. Instead of, you know, the 53-yarder you made, you know, with time running out, time expired. Talk about your relationships with your teammates. Have you ever had any problems with them? Have they ever had any problems with you? Has it ever been brought up to them? I haven't heard any of those questions.
No, as a matter of fact, and
like,
you know what?
When did you get the tattoo? What do you?
I'm glad you brought this up. We got an email yesterday. I don't know if you guys were copied on this. Guy's name is Jordan, and he said he played with Justin when he was at URI.
Yeah, he was his long snapper.
Yeah. And he says,
legit kid. I looked him up. He played
there. He said he's a weird guy. Kickers are weird guys. And he does support, you know, gun rights and less government. Sure. But I never heard him talk about this group. He was well-liked in the locker room. He considered all his teammates and everyone around him family, no matter who you were. He said it makes him sick to, you know, see him get painted as something other than a good teammate and a good guy. And, you know, for the purposes of a lot of Patriots fans who don't care about anything else, a great kicker. And he said nothing phases him mentally. He's, for the most part, doesn't care what people think, but he's got his own beliefs, but they're not based in racism or white supremacy or anything like that. He said, you mentioned on the show, talk to his teammates. So here's a guy who's talking, you know, who is speaking up on his behalf. I thought that was a good email, Jordan. And I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to get to it yesterday, but you know, there you go, Zoe. You know, say, talk to his teammates. Well, here's one who reached out to us, and I did the same thing. I looked him up, and it's like, yep, that guy's story checks out.
Yeah.
All right, 617-779-0985. Zoe, what were you up to last night? I saw it on Twitter, something with DraftKings.
Oh, it was awesome, you doing, man. Calling the Packers-Patriots game that was simulated from last year that you could actually get your lineups in on DraftKings last night. And, boy, Mohamed Sanu, buddy. When he's healthy, looks pretty damn good in a video game.
So it was a simulated game, and you called the game.
Called the game. Me and Adam Kaufman, old friend Adam Kaufman.
And there's obviously audio of this.
I hope so.
Okay, we'll get into this next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports up.
All right, Artie's got the sound of this from last night. Zoe calling a game. Maybe it's an off-season tune-up for Zoe.
Blew the dust off a little bit. I was nervous.
Okay, you were nervous.
Yeah.
Big game.
Pre-game meal and everything, yeah. Didn't know if I should put a coat and tie on.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I don't get this. I mean, I kind of get it, but I kind of don't. Zoe, do you get it? Do you know what you were doing last night?
Yes.
What were you doing?
Just talking through a simulated video game of Madden and what DraftKings is doing on multiple nights around like three of these. And you're able to, you know, if you're over the age of 18 and you get your picks in and you know the daily fantasy, you can actually do your lineups. Like these are actual games and the computer plays it out.
So hard.
You got to sit there and you could actually win prizes, 100 grand up for grabs.
You pick a lineup like you would an NFL game on a Sunday, but they're just simulating like the games to create the results.
Okay, so what would normally go on in one of these Madden games? Are there commentators built into the video games?
There are, yeah. I'd be like, who the hell does it, Jim? Is it,
I don't know.
John Madden?
Madden used to know. I thought Madden used to do it.
I'm not being a jerk. I really don't know. I mean, I play Sonic and, you know, Tekken. I'm old school.
Charles Davis does it now with, I think, Stessitore. Joe Tessitore or whatever. Tessitore.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's Tessitore and Charles Davis that did it last year in Madden 2020.
Okay.
But you're not calling it for the game. You're calling it for the broadcast of the game.
Yeah, just to have fun for the local broadcast, right.
So did you call it as a game or did you call it as, I don't know. Well, let's just listen to it. Let's see what you did. Okay.
Please.
All right. And who are you doing this with again, Zoe?
Adam Kaufman, who is giving you all the stats and, you know, hit lines and, you know, which players are lit and all that. He's pretty up to date and all this stuff.
Okay, here we go.
What do we got here? Second and third and three?
Third and three.
Convertible third down. This is what you want to be in.
because now you got to cover the backs. This is where you can bang it on your tight end. Nobody's covering the tight end here at the bottom of your screen in the slot. Give it to him.
But who's talking? What's going on?
That doesn't sound like Zoe, but that's Zoe.
That is me.
That's you?
Ben Watson. That's Ben Watson uncovered in the slot at the bottom of your screen. I'm saying give it to the tight end right here.
We got here second and third and three. Third down. This is what you want to be in.
You sound like a child, and Kaufman sounds like the big grown man.
He sounds like one of those clips we play of the guy repeating the in-house announcer. When what is it? Second and three. Second and three.
Second and three. Second and three.
Yeah, it's like.
Sounds like repeating.
Oh my God, this doesn't sound like you.
Yeah. You can bang it on your tight end. Nobody's covering the tight end here at the bottom of your screen in the slot. Give it to him.
Brady's got time, goes to his left. That's good for a first. Clock can keep moving, but Ben Watson has Brady. 8 out of 9 for 90.
That was Romo-esque right there. I called that before I saw it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of that.
That end's wide open. I'm covered. Give him the ball.
Just having fun over the game there. Like the technical aspects of, okay, 3rd and 7 here, what are you thinking here? Okay, you can't see the substitution sets. You don't even know on 4th down if they're going for it or punting it. Like, 4th and inches, oh, they got to be going for it here. Next thing you know, Green Bay sends the field goal team out. I'm like, what? Stupid-ass computer. I tell you what.
So with 3rd and 5, and we are knocking on that goal line.
3rd and 3. See, this is convertible 3rd down.
check that. 3rd and 3.
Part of the problem, too.
3rd and 3.
3rd and 3.
Convertible 3rd down.
Part of the problem, too, I was doing it from the Mac in the other room. So I had the screen real small. It was a real small box at the top. I didn't figure it out until about halfway through the second quarter. I can enlarge that to the full size of the screen. Now I can see what down and distance it is. This is awesome. Yeah.
All right. So did you find yourself getting excited?
I actually started to get pissed off because it reminded me of the too tight offense we ran last year. And the offense was anemic through the first two quarters. I'm like, yeah, I'm actually starting to get pissed off because this is reminding me of last year's offense. I actually got angry.
What about the defense? I think we might have
good turnover here.
Okay.
That's their slap against Teddy Karras. I thought Teddy Karras came in, played about as well as he could. Nice pass by Rodgers right there.
It's picked off. Patriots come away with it. Take the charge, a little daylight, and a touchdown for McCourty. Pats take a lead.
Nice.
Hey, run that back on Kaufman. You know Kaufman sounds like?
Oh, my God.
He sounds like Andelman's brother on the Phantom Gourmet. I like taking the kids out to get this ice cream at Cape Cod. When we go to Cape Cod in the summer, it's unlimited scoops for $4.99.
Rogers right there.
Oh, it's picked off. Patriots come away with it. Take the charge, a little daylight, and a touchdown for McCourty. Pats take a lead.
Yeah, French fries come with four different dipping sauces to your pleasure.
Take the charge, a little daylight, and a touchdown for McCourty. Pats take a lead.
A lead.
I had a long day working yesterday. That's a lot of work.
How long were you on for? Because I went to log on, and I think it was over.
Iron 15?
Oh, my goodness. How'd you do it?
Crazy.
How did you survive it?
What was the other work? Oh, I know the other work. Okay. All right. Finally, Kaufman is going to explain something to Zoe here. Now, is he explaining the zero set, the A-gap? Do you know what he's explaining here, Zoe?
I don't know. Let's look at it.
Six. Both their X-factors are lit, which means we may see the DST take over for New England, which is huge, obviously, for those of you with the New England DST in your lineups, any of your entries. Max 5 entries in both the Classic and the Showdown contest. So popularly owned, we ran it down before, 21% Classic, 10.5%.
And if I don't hit any of my picks, you'll win $26.
Like what? The DST is lit.
All he heard, he said it was lit. And I'm like, do you have any of my commentary after that? I'm like,
Oh, yeah.
In the showdown, and we'll see what they're able to do here.
So when you say lit, when you say lit, is that what the cool kids say? Is that that term, or is that a specific term when you're talking, fantasy?
No, that is specific. Yeah, that's specific Madden terminology. Not like this is gonna be lit, like the kids say today. At least I hope it's kids.
It sounds like you two are missing a lot of plays here. It sounds like there's a lot of action going on from those on them little digital warriors, and you guys are just ignoring what's going on down on the field.
Nope, we're having casual conversations back and forth. Adam's being informative as to all those gamers and where your rankings are, and it's interesting, you know, maybe a QBR doesn't really compute to what a QBR is. He told me Ben Watson is one of the highest-rated players on the team because of I didn't understand it. I'm like he rates like out of the 20. Like, he's a good player in that game.
Not like this is going to be lit like the kids say today. At least I hope it's kids. Oh, we got another interception here,
Curled
and it's
there.
Gilmore. So there you go. It's lit, so 10-9, the Pats taking over again.
Again.
I can't. Oh, Jesus.
I don't want to know what you got paid to do this. That's all I know.
Could have been done for just like, hey, just trying to fill some time and help the guys out. You know?
Sure.
10-9, yeah. The Pats taking over again. So there you go.
Is this going to be a regular thing for you?
No.
Oh!
No. No, but I've done random things here and there with DraftKings. They're really good. You know, obviously, great clients at the station. Fun. It's a fun place to work at over there when we get back to normal. If any of you young kids out there looking for a gig, that's a place I'd want to be.
Yeah.
They're always creating there, man.
No, you know what? Again, I thank anybody who's doing something to keep us entertained, right?
They're trying. Try it.
And
Hardy, Joe Murray was in here last week, and you said you just want the results the next day, like the box score. That's basically what they're doing for you. It's great.
Yeah, they're creating some box scores for us.
Yeah,
with simulated games. Is this happening again?
Yeah, it's happening. Sure, I think it's happening. Kaufman said it was the 99th game that he did.
Oh wow.
Wow, this has been going on.
He's done 99 of these games, right? Like last night, I think one of the other color guys in the league did the Kansas City Seattle game was the nightcap after us. So they did three games last night that you were able to, you know, put your marks in, get your teams in. It's daily fantasy. I think they do three a night. So,
all right then. All right, very good.
Just hit the link. I tweet out the link. You hit it and have some fun. If you're looking for something at night to do,
buy a $50 cameo from Zoe.
You do that. We could have fun with those.
All right, 617-779-0985. The phone number if you want to jump on board. We continue the show in 90 seconds with some news on sports getting back in business not so fast. We'll get to that next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21+. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.